Well, I had a conversation this week. It wasn't as a pastor. I mean, I had some of those too. But the conversation I'm specifically thinking of was with a friend, someone I've known a very long time, reached out to me, and we made time for a socially distanced lunch. Now, in our chatting, he made a comment that really struck me in talking about the realities of life after these couple years of pandemic and just some of the changes that life brings, pandemic or not. He said the reason he texted me to schedule something so we could catch up was that he realized how small his world had gotten. How small his world had gotten. The connections to others, the opportunities to be together. It has taken a hit these last couple years, hasn't it? How's your world doing? Maybe a little smaller than it used to be? I mean, this isn't to say your calendar hasn't been full, right? I mean, there's all sorts of things that are going on. Text messages, Zoom meetings, busyness. We stay busy. There's all that happening. We all have different needs, though. We all have different expectations for how we'll be connecting and interacting with others. You know, I have some people in my life for whom one strong relationship is plenty. For others, it takes a lot of varied connections of different kinds. We're all unique in the connections that we need. Sometimes our points of connection are with individuals. Sometimes they're with entire communities. And all of these relationships have changed. Can I hear an amen from the folks watching at home? Exactly. We have more than half of our congregation worshiping from home. I love that that option exists. I want you here, and I'm grateful to be in your living room or on your porch or on your phone or wherever. Right? That's a wonderful thing. I love that that option exists, and it will be a part of our life as a congregation forever because it builds a home where all belong, right? Wherever you are, we can be a part. It creates space for people to be present when they otherwise might not be able to be. But it still changes the feeling in the room. If you are watching from home, we miss you, right? Like there's something about being together. And when I say I miss you, it's not in the pastoral judgment, where have you been kind of a way. Don't hear it that way at all. It's the connecting with you matters to me kind of a way. It's why we do those videos from home each week, right? We're trying to reach out with calls and text messages as often as possible. Hey, just hope you're doing well. And it's funny to have someone say, oh yeah, I'm there every week. We haven't seen them in a couple years, but they're here every week. Other times, hey, we haven't seen you in a while. They're like, oh yeah, I've sort of been distant. I'm glad you remembered. Right, we're doing, and we ask for your partnership and connection in that. Because as the world is, it takes a lot more energy for things that used to happen naturally to still happen. It does. The world as it is, things are taking a lot more energy than they used to create. And maybe you've experienced that in your life, right? It just takes so much more to stay connected with people right now. Now, to be fair, it has always been true that relationships take work. That is a very honest phrase, and I mean that whether it's a romantic relationship, a platonic relationship, a work relationship, a neighbor relationship, relationships take work. Now they just take more work. And at the same time, I'll admit, I have less energy to do every day, so I can't maintain as many connections as I used to. Right? If I have less to offer and it takes more to do things, I don't have as much. And so it is very easy for our worlds to get smaller. And so perhaps we find ourselves looking for something more. Now, these last few weeks, we have looked for more in Scripture and in music and in prayer. And we have more unique places. We will be looking for more together as a congregation. Today, we are looking for something more in relationship. Be that relationship with God, relationship with others, or even our relationship with ourselves. Now, it's no coincidence that the looking for something more in relationship week falls on the same day as communion. Because communion is about relationship. A reminder, every time we gather at the table to share in the bread and the juice, a reminder that God has sought us out to be in relationship with us. I mean, Jesus really only had one instruction. Okay, two instructions. Share a meal and remember me. That's it. For all the fancy liturgy, and I've got pages and pages in the book of worship explaining how communion's supposed to happen. Jesus said there were two things to do. Share a meal and remember me. Remember me every time you do this, Jesus says. Because remembering is about relationship. It's about connection. But then again, wasn't Jesus' entire life about relationship and connection? Everything Jesus did was relational. And that's part of what we're invited to remember. Right as that cup is offered, as that bread is broken, we hear Jesus say, "This is my life given for you." It's about relationship. Now, we also get to celebrate a baptism today. If you're here at the, if you're watching the service live stream right now, or if you're here at the 9 o'clock, please know we will record the 10:30 and even give you a link that hops straight to the baptism. So you don't have to watch everything again. But this week in your email, you'll have that option to watch. It's an adult baptism. Grant had been worshiping with us online, came in person a few weeks ago, and came up and said, "Hey, this is something I want to share and celebrate in my life." And we're going to do that today. And baptism is another celebration of the love and relationship God has with each of us. I planned communion for today. The baptism was just a bonus, right? Baptism is a celebration of love and relationship. God isn't waiting for water to be placed on someone's head to love us. The water is a celebration of the love God already has for us. Baptism is a visual reminder of the inward grace that we carry. A symbol of God's relationship with all of humanity. Right? So communion and baptism, both of these rituals emphasize the relationship that God seeks to have with us. They also emphasize the relationship God longs for us to have with one another. There's a reason that you are invited to remember your own baptism every time we celebrate the sacrament. You're invited to remember your own baptism and participate again, connecting to that love and that grace. There is a reason we also offer our commitment, right? Every time, baptism is not a spectator sport. It's one of the reasons I want you to watch the baptism, because we have a role in making a commitment to that person, to every child, high schooler, adult, anyone who receives that beautiful celebration of love. We make a commitment to be there, to support, to uphold, to care, to encourage, to strengthen. Because life is a lot, and we need that from others. Because we're baptized in and baptized by one Spirit, tied together through those waters of baptism. And likewise, when communion is consecrated, during that moment of prayer, you hear these important words, "Make us one in your spirit, Lord." Communion itself, right? It isn't simply communion with God. We are in communion with one another and all who celebrate and live God's love. As we remember Christ's life and death and resurrection, we do so to share a deeper connection as siblings in Christ. There is a reason. The most sacred and holy moments we share emphasize our connection to God and our connection to one another. And that is because relationship is as sacred as it is essential. We are relational beings, and we are invited to look for something more in those relationships. In choosing a scripture for the day, it was always, there are so many relationships in the Bible, all kinds of countless relationships, but one of my favorites is between a mother-in-law and her daughter-in-law, the story of Ruth and Naomi. I'm going to have Jack share that scripture with us now.
Naomi said to her daughters-in-law, "Go, turn back, each of you to the household of your mother. May the Lord deal faithfully with you, just as you have done with the dead and with me. May the Lord provide for you so that you may find security, each woman in the household of her husband." Then she kissed them. And they lifted up their voices and wept. But they replied to her, "No, instead we will return with you to your people." Naomi replied, "Turn back, my daughters. Why would you go with me? Will there again be sons in my womb, that they would be husbands for you? Turn back, my daughters. Go, I am too old for a husband. If I were to say that I have hope, even if I had a husband tonight, and even more if I were able to bear sons, would you wait for them to grow up? Would you refrain from having a husband? No, my daughters. This is more bitter for me than for you, since the Lord's will has come out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth stayed with her. Naomi said, "Look, your sister-in-law is returning to her people and to her gods. Turn back after your sister-in-law." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to abandon you, to turn back from following after you. Wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Wherever you die, I will die." and there I will be buried. May the Lord do this to me, and more so, if even death separates me from you." When Naomi saw that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her about it.
Not only is his voice 2 octaves deeper than the last time you saw him, he's also about 8 inches taller. But so, this scripture and story of Ruth and Naomi, life is in a tough way in this scripture. I asked Jack to start at verse 8, but the verses before are brutal. The book of Ruth opens with Naomi's husband dying, her sons dying, there's famine, there's plague, everything is falling apart in life. And there is no hope for her or her daughters-in-law. It's why she tries to send them home, right? She's like, look, I have nothing to offer you. Usually my husband would take care of you if you were widowed. Usually my sons would take care of me if I was widowed. But we lost all the guys. We've got nothing. Go home. And so this is why no one judges Orpah as she heads back to her people. There is nothing wrong with that choice. She's honoring the request and traditions. But Ruth, Ruth won't go. And it's not that Ruth is naive. It's not that Ruth doesn't understand things are going to get tough. She knows it will be tough. She knows life will be hard. And that knowledge that life is going to be tough, but she wants to stick around anyway, that's what makes her commitment so powerful. Hear these words again. I love them. "Do not press me to leave you or to turn away from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Let nothing in this life separate us." Wow. Relationships take work. Now, I'll be honest. There are some relationships in my life that have not survived the pandemic. This is not a reflection on those people. It's just a reality. And I think it's worth naming because there are times I'm like, oh, I feel like a horrible friend. I haven't seen so-and-so and I haven't checked him with so-and-so, right? Like, we can't do it all. There are some relationships that have not survived the pandemic. Not every relationship could make it. Now, some of them I will be seeking to rebuild, much like that invitation for lunch I received this week. But others, I'm going to need to let go of without judgment. There's no judgment on Orpah for saying, you know what, you're right. We had some time together, and it's okay that we're going our separate ways now. Some we may need to let go of. And on top of that, I hear Ruth's words, and I realize what I'm looking for when I say I'm looking for more in relationships. The ones I do have, I want more from. I want people in my life that I'm willing to go through stuff for. And I want people in my life who are willing to go through things to be with me. I want people who are willing to share in that connection. I want people I don't have to pretend with. Did you hear Naomi's honesty when she's talking about life? She looks at the girls and she says, listen, you really shouldn't be here. On top of having nothing to offer you, I am bitter. I'm bitter. She's just naming it. I'm not pleasant to be around right now. You should go. And in Ruth, she has a relationship where she can name that grief and she can name her loss. She can name the pain and frustration. And instead of running away, Ruth looks at all of that and says, I know. I'm here. I'm here. That's the kind of relationship we can find something more in. It reminds me of one of my favorite scenes from the cinematic classic, Wayne's World. Wayne's buddy Garth asks him for advice. Wayne, what do you do if every time you see this one incredible woman, you think you're going to hurl? And Wayne, offering sage advice, says, I say hurl. If you blow chunks and she never comes, if you blow chunks and she comes back, she's yours. But if you spew and she bolts, it was never meant to be. This is really what we find in the scripture today. Because if someone can't handle the honest version of who we are, it was never going to work out in the first place. Let's just name that. You know, I spend a lot of my time in my virtual ministry talking about friendship with the young people I engage with online. So many teens and 20-somethings asking the question honestly over and over and over again, how do I make friends? It's an interesting and honest question. I think a lot of us struggle with at different points and times in our life. And it's interesting because I watch my 5-year-old and my 9-year-old. They meet someone at a park. We were there yesterday and they're like, hey, I made a friend today. You know, you walk up and you're like, hey, do you want to be my friend? Okay, let's play. Like it was that, right? But how do we do that now? There is such honest vulnerability in the question, how do I make friends? How? And I tell you, there's no easy or universal answers. I do always tend to encourage them just to be yourself and find something you share in common with other people, right? Because if you're not yourself, you're not going to find the right people. And shared interests are always a good place to begin. And this brings me back to our relationship here as a congregation, right? A place you can be yourself and a place you might have common shared interests. I find both of those things here. So one of the reasons, I mean, yes, I'm biased, but I love this congregation. And I love this congregation because I feel comfortable being exactly who I am with no pretense. You've been dealing with it for nearly a decade. Me just being like, this is me, blah. And yet, you invite me back every week. And I also feel that my interests, the things I care about, right? Like making a difference in the world, caring for the planet, growing as a person. I feel like those are shared interests here. And so right here, I find people who accept me as I am and share my interests. This is a place we can look for something more together. It's a place where we can look for relationships that are worthy of the journey life brings, because it's going to get tough. And when I look out here, when I think of you at home, you're the people I want to make that journey with. And so in all the ways that things have changed across our virtual spaces and distances, it is my sincere prayer that we can be creative and welcoming in ways that offer assurance and connection of that relationship, so that whoever in this world might be looking might find something more right here. Amen. As Peter makes his way up to offer the music for communion, as some of you know, we do a new rhyme each week with our altar. Our altar is designed like one of those look and find books, like an I Spy book from childhood. If you need the rhyme again and you want a good picture, you can visit the church website and click the digital bulletin link. The digital bulletin has all the rhymes and you can find it again, but here you go. I spy four ways to get around a veggie that grows under the ground. Barnyard animals I see too, and a pair of shoes that are not new.